It is the bye week. Pokes are 3-0 entering the break and in the top 10. Welcome to the Believe in OK State podcast. I am your host, Megan Robinson, and I am joined today by OSU legend, Rashawn Woods. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So before we get into your career, what are sort of your overall thoughts about the Pokes this season? First of all, I just want to say they dropped a spot after a 63-7 win in the AP polls. What do you think that was about?
You know, a lot of times that, you know, it has a lot to do with maybe the other teams and how they performed. The Cowboys definitely did what they were supposed to do. And so I don't think it's any fault to them. It's just a situation this early in the season, another team's doing well, kind of brought that up on us.
I don't think a Kentucky 31-0 win over Youngstown State was more impressive than 63-7, but I don't get a vote. So what do I know?
Yeah.
So on Friday, you were one of five people inducted into Oklahoma State's Hall of Honor. First class since 2011. What was your reaction when you got the call?
Man, I was just thankful that I had a chance to be recognized. And really, it was an opportunity for me to give thanks to the people that helped me get to that point. Right. It was a lot of people, a lot of coaches that really, really helped me achieve that goal and be as great as I was. And so to have the opportunity to express that to them, to others, was definitely a good situation for me.
And for those who might not be as familiar with his career accolades, I'm just going to list a few off quickly. Two-time first-team All-American. In 2002, you led the NCAA in touchdown receptions, and you still hold the records at Oklahoma State with 293 catches, 4,414 yards, and 42 touchdowns. So that's pretty impressive. I mean, you have accomplished so much at Oklahoma State, but in your opinion, what is your most memorable play as a Cowboy?
Just the guys. I mean, I don't know if there's any one play. You know, I know the 16-13 victory is definitely up there, and it's the one that I'm probably reminded about the most. But, you know, when I remember that season and remember the year after, just really the discipline and the camaraderie, you know, the whole year in general was really a special year for all of us. And so when I think about that game, I also think about the mornings, the late tutoring sessions and the guys and all the fun that we had in preparation for those opportunities. So a lot of great memories there. And, you know, it makes it even better when you're having memories of winning and having success.
You mentioned the 16-13. That was obviously the iconic Bedlam win in 2001, correct?
Yes.
So it just was officially announced. I personally was not surprised that Bedlam is no more once OU joins the SEC. But I just have to ask, what are your thoughts on that whole situation?
You know, I still think that game is important for Oklahoma. And I think that down the road, they may return to it. But with everything that happened and how, you know, Oklahoma and Texas left, you got to think that, you know, there's definitely some bridges that were temporarily burned there. And so it's no surprise to me. There are probably still some admins there that are just not too happy with how everything went down because it put a lot of universities in bad situations. I really felt like that was a move in which people were kind of looking out for themselves and put other teams and other programs, you know, in jeopardy, which is, you know, hey, I kind of understand it a little bit, but when you're on the other side of that deal, you know, it's not something that you are going to be very happy about. And so, unfortunately, I think all of that and probably some other things had a lot to do with that game not continuing.
Non-conference schedules also come out years in advance. I think we have a late 2027 game with Alabama. We have like a 2035 game already scheduled with Colorado. So I also think that that's part of it, that these non-conference games are already scheduled. So were you surprised when they're like, it's officially no more? Or did you expect that to sort of be the case?
You know, it's funny when people say that, you know, there's nothing they can really do. And typically, you know, that's never really the case. You know, there's a lot of teams and a lot of, you know, games that aren't necessarily set in stone. I get that, especially the marquee games. You want to get those. You have a chance to get those way out in non-conference. But, you know, there's games, for instance, the situation with Arkansas Pine Bluff. You know, there's availability there. that both schools may want to hold for those caliber type teams. And so you could potentially put your program at risk if you put another marquee matchup, you know, in your non-conference and end up being, you know, hey, those particular teams can go top 10 in your first three games and can put set you back or can put you in a situation to really excel. But man, there's a lot of risk involved when you're playing an Alabama team. And then you've also got the Sooners coming to town the next week. Right. And it's so hard. By that time, it'll probably be a 12 team playoff, but still not something you want to have on a resume. If, even if you split those games, it, you know, it could make it tougher down the road, but if you drop both of them, obviously that's not the best thing. And I think having not, I wouldn't call them lesser teams, but less marquee or not as marquee games, you know, can kind of ensure that you can get out of there for the most part in a good place, whether you win that big game or not, and still be 2-1, which is, I think, what most teams want to do before they start into league play.
That all makes sense. You don't want to start the season in a hole that you can't climb out of.
Yeah, that's right.
So I think it was against Arizona State, the 2002 team. It was their 20th anniversary, and they were honored. Were you able to make it back for that game?
Yeah. I try and make it to every game. I do the radio with the Sports Animal every game, the home game. So I had a chance to see all my former players and former teammates, and the entire receiving group was there, and that was so nice to be able to see those guys. Man, we had so much fun getting to know each other, and it was a strong friendship there amongst all of us. And now, you know, we're all old dads for the most part. And, you know, some of us look like, you know, we hadn't aged a day. And, you know, there were guys like me, unfortunately, that may put on maybe a couple pounds. And, you know, that's just kind of how it goes. But, you know, everybody seemed to be pretty happy and doing really well for the most part. And it was so good to see those guys.
Had you guys, all of you, the whole receiver group, have you been together since 2002 or was that the first time?
2001, let's see. I think we were together in 2001 and 2002. So those 2 years, we were all, the guys before me, like Willie Young and John Lewis and T.D. Bryant, Gabe Lindsey was another guy. You know, those 2 years together, or maybe even three, we were in there. We were in it together, right? So they were a year older than me, and I remember my brother, but there was maybe a lull in receivers the year after me. And so, you know, I just remember those guys because they really helped me along, and they were really nice and good friends to me.
That's awesome that you guys all got to be together again.
That's right.
So after Oklahoma State, you spent some time in the NFL. So what was that experience like for you?
You know, it was a good experience outside of, you know, the injuries. You know, I ended up, my career was cut abruptly short just because of ongoing injuries that, you know, for me, I never experienced any type of adversity like that. But unfortunately, it brought an end to my career a lot earlier than I wanted it to. But the experience overall, the people, the way programs are ran, it was nice to be a part of that. It was definitely eye-opening. It's different for sure. It's not always guaranteed that, you know, programs will be ran the same way or similar than they are in college. But definitely a learning experience for me and something that I'll never forget.
You now coach at the high school level. So you've played at the highest level. You're now a high school coach. What is your advice to kids who want to one day get to the NFL?
You know, anybody that wants to be very good at something, you know, typically my guys, I tell them every day is that, you know, accept, you know, people being critical of your performance and, you know, what you do every single day, because the moment that you're critical with yourself and you are critical with your performance and really anything that you do is the moment that you can start to grow. You know, there are a lot of guys that want and women that want to hear how good they are. They don't want to necessarily attack, you know, their flaws every single day, because that's extremely hard to do and it's hard to hear. But the moment that you can get over yourself, so to speak, and allow people that you care about or that care about you to push you to be better and actually respond in a positive way to that, you're on your way to being very good at anything that you decide to do in life.
I'm with you. I don't I don't think anyone loves criticism, but I really enjoy constructive criticism because I know that I'm not perfect. So if someone can point out, hey, if you do X, Y, and Z, you'll be a lot better at this. So I appreciate that bit of advice from you. So I want to transition and talk about this year's team. So far, as I said earlier, they're 3-0. They're looking pretty good. I've seen a lot of positives. I mean, Spencer Sanders has been balling this year. The offense is looking pretty good. What word would you use to describe the Oklahoma State offense this season?
Offensively, you talk about Spencer Sanders. You hear Coach Gundy talk about when is the game going to slow down for his guys, right? And early on, he was kind of waiting on that moment. I think that moment happened for him last year. He looks phenomenal out there. He knows where to go with the ball, and he's extremely comfortable. And not only is he uncomfortable, the coaching staff are comfortable with his ability to get the job done consistently. I mean, you can see it in the play calling. You can tell that they have extreme confidence in him. The offensive line is solid, right? You don't hear a lot of negatives about this offensive line. Last year was a lot of injuries and a lot of things that went on. The year before that, it was a COVID year. And so just stability in the offense, it's more consistent than it was, I think, last year. And those are all positives for the Cowboys moving forward, I think.
I think the offensive line is one of the more experienced groups. I think they returned all but two people. So I think that was a huge help for the O line this year. And just a couple notes on Spencer Sanders. He has 27 career wins. So he trails only Mike Gundy and Mason Rudolph, and six more wins. He will own the school record for career wins as a quarterback here, which is pretty impressive. And then just some other people on the offense. Braden Johnson has kind of emerged, and Dom Richardson. So they have a lot of different starts. What are your thoughts on receivers? As a former receiver, you've seen some good big things from JP, you've seen some things from Braden. And where do you think that someone will emerge as the top receiver? Do you think we'll sort of see this shared spread offense situation?
There's a lot of receivers in that room that are really good. I think that it's the best receiving room that Oklahoma State has had in a long time. Okay. They don't necessarily have what you would call a marquee guy, right? When you look at them in the past, you look at Justin Blackman, a Dez Bryant, and those kind of names, right? But
A Rashawn.
yeah, exactly. I don't know if it's necessarily that. You got a lot of solid guys that are good at their that are really good. And then, Johnson is just, he's a guy who's physically can get the job done, and he's the guy that's making plays right now. He may very well be that guy, but DePresley, JP Richardson, and the other guys can go out and very well make an extremely have a good day, right? And Johnson doesn't necessarily have to go out and catch eight balls every game or help go over 100 yards because they've got six or seven guys that, can really make plays for this offense. And the steadiness of it all is what impresses me the most.
How challenging is that type of offense for a defense to prepare for?
Extremely challenging. And then you add on the top on top of that, that they're going fast. Anybody can beat you. Anybody can catch the ball and turn it into, a 20-yard gain, right? I mean, it's extremely impressive when it doesn't matter who you throw the ball to. I think I looked at a stat that there was 8 to 10 people that touched the ball last game. I mean, it's anytime that that's happened and they're spreading the ball around like that, that's a good situation. It helps build morale in the receiving room because everybody knows they're going to get an opportunity. And it, like you said, it makes it tough on defenses to know who they need to key in on.
I think it was week one, too. I read that Spencer Sanders threw a pass to 11 different receivers and a touchdown to four, which is, that's crazy.
Exactly.
And I'm going into the season, everyone's like, who's going to replace Tay Martin? And it's like, well, I think we have four or five people who could step into those shoes.
That's right. And I didn't think that that Johnson was going to be the guy that was going to do that, and the guy who I thought was going to be Bray, and he hadn't even played yet. Imagine that. He's still, he's still coming back off an injury. And so when he's added to the mix, where he falls in that deal is it's going to be interesting how they try and navigate, so many playmakers on that offense.
I thought it was going to be Brendan Presley. I was expecting him, but I think it's awesome that you're kind of each week it could be someone new. So who do you watch, which keeps it
Right.
exciting too as a fan.
Exactly.
And then quickly on the other side of the ball, the defense has 9 sacks so far this season. And the big question mark entering 2022 was the linebackers. But I mean, overall, the defense has been pretty impressive. I mean, they had 3 sacks last game, I think it was.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you know, with Trace Ford coming back, he's a first day draft pick level player, and he's been out for 2 years. Okay. You add in that Colin Oliver, who's not even the starter, right? Is the freshman player of the year that's coming in as a rush in that's getting after the quarterback, but you haven't had heard a ton about him, but he's still a guy that, wow, can really, really make plays. I just think that overall the defensive line front is a lot like how the receivers are. Oklahoma State overall has done such a great job in recruiting those defensive linemen that they've got a guy that can specialize in a rush, that can be a run stopper, and so on and so forth. They've got multiple guys up there that have their own role that if another team decides to try and go no huddle, that they can platoon those guys in and be fresh and ready to go for an entire 100 plays if they need to on defense.
Yeah, the word I keep using to describe the defense this season is scary. And you mentioned Trace Ford, and he was actually named the Big 12 special teams player of the week. It was his first ever Big 12 weekly honor, and he blocked a punt and returned it for a touchdown. I was shocked when I read that it was his first ever Big 12 weekly honor because I feel like he's been such a name that you recognize and a person to watch on Oklahoma State's defense.
That's right. I mean, he exploded his first year out there. And then, unfortunately, the next 2 years with knee injuries, you know, you're thinking to yourself, well, how much better can they be when their top guy is out? And, well, they're answering that with the obvious sign of, oh, we're going to be even better. Thank you. Thanks for worrying.
We are on a bye this week, but Big 12 play will start the following week, October 1st. Right now, OSU, OU, Iowa State, and Kansas are the only 3-0 teams unbeaten in the Big 12. Who do you think is going to take the Big 12 this year?
Well, obviously, you know, Oklahoma State is a front runner for me. You know, if I got on here on an OSU deal and didn't say that, you know, I man,
Who do you
wow, what
think
kind
they'll
of fan
play?
would
Who
I
will
be?
they play for to win the Big 12 title?
You know, OU is still formidable. You know, I think that I don't think athletically or talent wise they were or what they were last year. I think the Gabriel kid is really good, but you know, he's not the guys that they had last year. You know, that's just the bottom line. Receiver wise, I think Mims is pretty good, but he's not a CeeDee Lamb caliber guy, right? And so, but you know, that's not where they can beat you up front, is where they really excel on both the offense and defensive lines. And if you can match that, any team in the Big 12 can match that, then they have a chance of beating on you. But if you can't, just like anybody else, it's the big guys up front that win football games for you. And if you don't have them, it doesn't matter how good your skill guys are. And so, because of that, OU is always up there because of the great job that they continue to do recruiting. And, you know, obviously, Kansas is a surprise. I'm not going to say because they're 3-0 right now that they're a Big 12 contender. Okay. But for them, they're in a great place when you consider how tough it's been the last 10 years for them.
I'm loving the Kansas story. I think it's so great because every year you're like, oh, that's a win. Check it, you know, put that in the win column. And I'm loving seeing the success. And I do think that going up into Lawrence later this season, OSU needs to be on upset alert. We've seen it at Iowa State. We've seen those games where you just kind of break down a little bit. So I would say, I'm not saying that they're going to lose to Kansas. I said just go in ready to play that game. That's my thought.
Yeah, there's a lot of parity in the league. And so, you know, even when they were down, Kansas would scare some, you know, would scare some people. And so, and they've been down a long time. And so it is very scary when a team that hasn't been winning starts to get a little success. And so you're exactly right. You better come ready to play every game in this league. Definitely one of the top three leagues, I would say, probably in college football.
And again, no game this week. It is the bye week, so you won't be having to do any radio. So what are your plans?
You know, we play on Friday. We go down to Jinx and play those guys. Very, very good football team. And then afterwards, I'm thinking about maybe going to the lake, or maybe just hanging out. I mean, football season for me, just like everybody that's coaching it, it's a grind. And so when I get a day off, like a Saturday, and I don't have to go to the game, I'm going to find something to do that does not take much effort. So that is my plan.
Well, that's awesome. Good luck on Friday. I really appreciate you taking some time out of your busy schedule to chat Oklahoma State football.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. And I appreciate you all listening to the Believe in OK State podcast. New episodes every Thursday. Once again, he's Rashawn Woods. I'm Megan Robinson. Thanks for listening. Go Pokes.